Mishnah Tet of our fourth parak continues to discuss the vineyard and the distance between vines, etc. And it starts by explaining to us Hanotea es karmo al shesh asar ama, shesh asar ama. If one plants one's vineyard 16 cubits by 16 cubits, right, 16 ama by 16 ama, mutar laha avizer ala sham, you are able to bring in or plant things in those spaces. This is more or less a reiteration of what we already understood from our previous Mishnayos, leading into this story. On Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ma'ase b'tzalmon be'echad she'nata es karmo al shara b'sheshar ama." So Rabbi Yehuda says, once upon a time there was this individual from Tzalmon, and he planted his vineyard 16 cubits or 16 cubits. "Vaya hofech sa'ar shte shurot l'tzad echad v'zera es hanir." Yehuda says that it once happened in Sa'amon that a certain individual, a certain person was planting his vineyard 16 amma by 16 amma, and he would turn the branches of two rows towards the same area and plant the plowed area, and the following year he would turn the branches to the other side and plant the barren area. And this came before the Chachamim, it came before the sages, and they said that it was mutar to do this. So basically, if you picture a Monopoly board or some other board game, with the sort of outside perimeter, with the squares lined up. So if you sort of picture a Monopoly board with the idea that the black line divvying up the squares is the row of vines, right? The row of grapevines. Then each square, kind of like Atlantic Avenue, and then I don't even know the boards, but Park Place and whatever. So in every other one he would plow, right? So you have the requisite amount of space between the vines and in between to not make them a vineyard, right? The requisite amount of space between the vines to not make them considered a vineyard. And then every other year he would plow the space between the vines, right? So one year he let the space lie fallow and plant the other, and then vice versa. So every year he would have one section that would be lying barren and one section that would be plowed, and he would switch it up every year. And it mentions in passing that he would always turn the vines away from the area that he had left, because that way there's an additional concern that you don't want the vines growing out over the other types of plants. So that's sort of a separate issue. In other words, if you have enough space between the vines, but those vines grow and grow and grow till they're overshadowing or overhanging other types of plants, and you do have an issue of key lime. So we would twist the vines away each year so that he would not risk having that happen. And in a situation like this, what he did was viewed as completely mutar by the Chachami. And I would guess that probably the primary purpose of this story and the mission is just to make it completely clear that a gap of 16 amma left between rows does not allows you to not combine the vines to make a vineyard. Our Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon say, Afa notea es karmo al shmone, shmone amot mutar. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon say that even if someone plants his vineyard 8 amma by 8 amma, it's mutar, which is a substantially smaller distance than we just saw in our story. And the reason why Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon feel this way is that they hold that 8 amma apart is enough. Their opinion is that the Isra against planting in a gap of less than 16 amma, which is what we saw originally all the way back at the very beginning of our Perek Dalet in the Mishnah Aleph, only applies to a clearing which was created by removing vines. So in other words, you had a vineyard, you removed a chunk of vines, leaving that space. In a situation like that, you would in fact need your 16 amma between vines to count. However, if you were to intentionally plant your field in such a way that you have your row of vines and then a space for planting other things and a row of vines and a space for planting other things and a row of vines and a space for planting other things, in that case you really only need your 8 amma apart. Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph, the first Mishnah in Perek Hey, really continues on in exactly the same train of thought as Perek Dalet, and really springboards off of the discussion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, the idea of whether or not how much space you need to leave in the case of having pulled up vines. In the Mishnah, our first Mishnah in Perek Dalet, where we were discussing the idea of pulling up these vines, and making space and needing the 16 amma between them, as we just discussed in the end of our last Mishnah of Perek Dalad. So now in Perek Hay, Mishnah Aleph, they're going to be discussing the idea of what about if the, you know, vineyard has sort of been destroyed in a haphazard way or pulled up in a haphazard way, so that it is not clear that it is necessarily a vineyard. In other words, if you tear a certain rose, then perhaps that will be one thing. But what if you kind of tear things up in a random, haphazard fashion? So we'll see what our Mishnah says. Starting with Mishnah Aleph of Perek Hay. Kerem Shecharav. Okay, so a vineyard which is destroyed. Im yesh bo lelaket asarat gefanim lebeisa'a unjom kihil chasan hareze nikra kerem dal. So if you have a vineyard which is destroyed, if there are still 10 vines that are found per beisea, and they are planted in the correct configuration, then this is considered a poor vineyard, right? A kerem dal. So again, you have a vineyard which has been uprooted or destroyed in a haphazard fashion. Okay, again, it's not a neat removal of vines in the middle of the vineyard or down the middle of the vineyard, which will allow you to plant other things. Now we're being told that in a situation where things have been pulled up haphazardly, assuming that there are a minimum of 10 vines per beisea, then as long as they fall into that appropriate configuration, if you remember, we discussed this way back in the fourth parak at the beginning of needing two opposite two with one as a tail, right? Five vines. So again, you know, in this situation, you'd be talking about 10 vines, but the same idea of two opposite two with one tail. Then it's considered a poor vineyard, but a vineyard nonetheless. So assuming the surviving vines, the surviving 10 vines, are not 16 amma or more apart, okay, and they are not less than dalet amma from one another, then they're still going to be considered as being planted in the correct configuration, assuming you've got your two opposite two in the tail. There is a machlokes among the mefarshim about whether you need all 10 vines to fit into that appropriate vineyard layout, or whether as long as 5 vines fit into that layout and the other 5 vines are within the beisea, whether that constitutes as a poor vineyard or not. Most mefarshim seem to feel that you need to have all 10 vines working into that appropriate configuration. The Rambam seems to feel that as long as you have 5 of the vines fitting in the appropriate formation, then all the other vines still add up together to create a vineyard. So in this situation, you end up with only 10 vines in an entire beisea, and that beisea retains the shame of a vineyard, and therefore you can't plant anything else in that vineyard. What's interesting about this is that in our previous parak, when we talked about a vineyard clearing, right, it's really clearly much less damaging to a vineyard as a whole. In other words, if you were me, right, or if I were you or whatever, and you said, what's the best way of, you know, making sure that a vineyard's not a vineyard anymore, I'd say, like, you know, just tear the whole thing up. Like, who cares if there are a couple vines left over here and there? If you've destroyed an entire vineyard, then clearly, you know, you don't want it to be a vineyard anymore, and you want to plant something else. And if there are a few vines left around, then it should be fine. Because again, remember, we're not talking about a biblical prohibition, or we started talking about a biblical prohibition of key lime, but we're not talking about somebody actually being over the biblical prohibition of kilayim. Rather, we're talking about the appearance of being over the biblical prohibition of kilayim. So I would think that if you want me to, you know, what's more obvious, right? Really a whole bunch of neat rows of vines followed by a 16 amma space followed by a whole bunch of more neat vines with a bunch of other stuff growing in that empty space. Is that look more like kilayim, or is it completely trashed, you know, vineyard with other things growing that look more like it? So of course, you know, the idea is that you know, right? So it would seem like, at least to me, that it would be good enough to have a destroyed vineyard. So why does this destroyed vineyard get the lashon of a kerem dal, a poor vineyard, in there, and you can't plant anything in it? And the various answers are suggested. I mean, the one answer that I think makes the most sense is that in the case of a vineyard clearing, because you clearly have defined rows of vines on either side, it's obvious you intended to plant something else in the middle, and therefore it can't appear like you are being involved in key lime. However, when you have a destroyed vineyard, it's really very hefker, and they're kind of vines sort of everywhere, and there's no way of a person recognizing what you are trying to do, and therefore we have to be a little bit more machmir than in the previous situation. Our Mishnah continues, Kerem Shehu Natua Irbuvia. So if a vineyard was just sort of planted chaotically, we're not talking about a destroyed vineyard, we're talking about a haphazardly planted vineyard. Im yesh bo, the kaven shtaim neged shalosh hareze kerem. So if in this sort of, you know, haphazard vineyard you have two rows, you can line up two vines with three vines, opposite three vines, then this is going to be considered a vineyard. Right? Again, remember we talked about the idea of needing five vines minimum, and at least according to Beis Hillel, you need to have two rows of those five vines. So if it's a completely haphazard vineyard and you can line up two vines on one side with three vines on the other side, then it's still considered a vineyard. Beam love, ain't no carom. But if not, then it's not a carom. So if it's planted so completely haphazardly that you can't line up two vines with three vines, then it's not considered a vineyard. Obviously, you still have to be careful about not planting too close to the individual vines, which is what we've discussed in previous prakim. But it does not, as a whole, have a din of a carom. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hoyel v'hu nir'eh Karam. However, Rabbi Meir says that as long as it looks basically like a vineyard, it is a vineyard. In other words, Rabbi Meir comes along and says, actually, even though so far we've been dealing more or less with objective facts, i.e. you need a minimum of five vines, and those five vines need to line up a certain way to be considered a vineyard, if you take the requisite amount of space and haphazardly plant the vines, then nonetheless, it's still going to be, for all intents and purposes, considered a vineyard. So again, in the case of a destroyed vineyard, assuming you have your 10 vines, then you have to consider the whole base, say, a vineyard. And in the case of a completely haphazard or poorly planted vineyard, I don't really know why somebody would plant that way, but for whatever reason, then if you have your two opposite three, then it's considered a vineyard. However, according to Rabbi Meir, even if you don't have that, or even if you don't find that, because it's obviously, I guess it looks like a vineyard insofar as there are tons and tons of grapevines growing in this one area, then it is still treated as a vineyard, despite the fact that you don't have that objective standard of what a vineyard is.